A very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this very beautiful land of the brave, this beautiful country of ours. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Eagle FM. You're most welcome, and thanks for making us your very number one choice every morning. So we thank Louis Shimi for Early Morning Scoop, and the whole team for Early Morning Scoop for always keeping us, you know, updated before we get on with our days. Thank you, Louis, and the whole team of Early Morning Scoop. So our time is about 34 minutes past the hour of 7. Today is many of you actually trying to, many of you probably, you know, preparing to travel, you know, for the Easter. So this, liturgically, this is called, you know, some of us know a little bit of religious, stuff. So it's called Easter Triduum. Easter Triduum, that means actually from today. Today, this is the holiest, if you like. You can say that this is the most significant actually days of Christians, you know. So today is starting today until Sunday. Today is the Holy Thursday. That's the Last Supper. This is actually the Last Supper. If you have heard about the Last Supper, it starts today. And then on Friday you have the Passion of Christ, when Jesus actually suffered and died. And then, you know, you have the Holy Saturday, and then you have now Sunday, when he resurrected. So Easter Sunday. So these are the most holiest days in the calendar of Christians. Yeah. So, and those who are traveling, make sure that you drive safe, and the people that with you, you take them to their destiny, safely. So not in pieces, but in peace. All right. So, yeah, my name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understand how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it is not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinions, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So today is the 17th of April, 17th of April, 2025. So what happened on this day in Africa? So on April the 17th in 1963, the Zimbabwe African National Union, ZANU, was established in Tanzania. It was established in Tanzania. So this political movement emerged as a pivotal force in the struggle against colonial rule in Rhodesia, you know, Rhodesia, now known as Zimbabwe. So ZANU's formation marked a significant step towards the country's eventual independence in 1980, highlighting the relentless pursuit of self-determination by the Zimbabweans. And on the very same day, April the 17th, 1964, stand as the landmark in the Malawian history. In Malawi's history, this day, the nation celebrated its independence from British colonial rule. So this achievement was the culmination of persistence effort by the Malawian to assert their right to self-governance, setting the stage for the country's development as a sovereign state. And also today, while not exclusive to Africa, April the 17th is recognized globally as a World Hemophilia Day. So happy Hemophilia Day to you. So this observance aims to raise awareness about hemophilia and other bleeding disorder. I think it's when your body is unable to actually make the blood clot, you know, and not your blood, so that you're not be able to bleed. Yeah, so yeah, that's what referred to hemophilia. So in many African countries, individuals with such conditions face challenges due to limited access to adequate healthcare. And World Hemophilia Day serves as a reminder of the importance of improving healthcare infrastructure and support system across the continent. Yeah. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today's the thought for the day, our thought for the day: in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. In the middle of difficulties lies opportunity. So the proverb suggests that challenges and hardship often contain hidden opportunity for growth, learning, or even success. So it implies that difficult situations should not only be viewed as obstacle, but also as chances to discover new path, develop resilience, or achieve something meaningful. So for example, losing a job might be an opportunity to pursue a more fulfilling career or develop new skills. So the saying reminds us to search for the opportunities that challenges might present. So whether they are lessons, new beginnings, or a door to unanticipated success. So in the middle of difficulties lies opportunities is our thought of the day. So, and thanks for joining us. And when we come back from this quick break, we'll get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Trotabuna, Imatima, Omjo. She calls a fat and a man, and she fat yaw, she became a Moyawa, or Tango got a money. And I just a Yanamibia, on the Tom Banana, Omjika. Faith and Anna, Omeru, Niranitoma, Yongisha, Okupitramo, Ekele from Media House. We 22 Miha, Okakomanga Nina. Cara, Omkashi Freki, we mopo, you more program, and get to Moambo, and then get a film, or the rest of the team, that in the two, Harry Hamanotano, or the arch. Ekele from the other.
Yes, if you're a business person, we are making it easier than ever to grow your business. Our complimentary apps, Imba and Eagle FM app, are perfect for boosting your product and service to a wide range of consumers. So, and don't forget our social media platforms. So they are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or your product visibility. So contact us at 083-244-400. So 083-083-288-400. And as we always said, please make sure that you are connected to Eagle FM by making sure that you download the Eagle FM app, so that you will be connected to the news, your favorite shows, and so much, much more features. All you need to do, just download the Eagle FM app, a mobile app, and you are good to go. So, our time, 43 minutes past the hour of 7. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Shoveri. So, and welcome to another edition of Unpacking the Day. So today, we delve into a very intriguing story of the High Rail Project. High Rail Namibia Project. A leading story. This is a leading story in yesterday edition of the Villager. So the story is about Namibia's ambitious bid to develop Africa. And this is the Africa first dual fuel hydrogen diesel locomotives. So this was all about. So a bid to develop Africa first dual fuel hydrogen diesel locomotives. So the project initially was hailed as a groundbreaking initiative. The project has now, as we speak, the project has now been stuck in limbo for about 7 months, leaving many to wonder what went wrong. So, as we go through this complex, issues, we will break it down into what would I call digestible segment, all right? So that we can understand what are the key challenges, what are the implications, maybe, and lessons we can draw from this delayed project or delayed venture. So let's unpack it together. Stay tuned and let's unpack this together and get to understand what is going on. Now, first, let's recap for those who may not be familiar. So, as I said, this is the leading story yesterday. This is the leading story in yesterday's sister paper, e-paper, The Villager. And please go make sure that's what we say. Make sure that you subscribe, so that you can get your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you need to do is just send your name and WhatsApp number. Your WhatsApp, your name and your email at this number, 081-241-44. And then you will start to receive your copy of your soft copy of your digital copy of your digital copy of The Village. So do that and you will never miss any of economic, business and policy development news. All right. This project, the High Rail Project, is an ambitious initiative that's set to revolutionize Namibia's rail transport, by introducing a dual fuel hydrogen diesel locomotives. So a dual hydrogen, for us to understand, a dual full hydrogen diesel locomotive is those type of a train engine designed to run on both hydrogen and diesel fuel. All right, it run on both. So, and this technology allow now the locomotive to use hydrogen as a cleaner, more environmental friendly energy source, while also retaining the ability to use diesel as a backup or supplementary fuel. So now this kind of innovation that is aimed to reduce carbon, as we I have a session with Musheko. So normally these are now the innovation that the country is focusing on, which are aimed to reduce the carbon emission in the rail industry, while maintaining the reliability and operational efficiency. So it was not just about upgrading a Trans Namib fleet, Okay, it was not just about upgrading the Transnamib fleet, but the idea was also about positioning now Namibia as a leader in a green hydrogen technology. So that's also the idea. So it's not just about Transnamib actually upgrading their fleet. So now, so what was the plan? What was now the plan? What happened? What was the plan? So the plan was to convert two locomotives to run on both diesel and green hydrogen, with a trial operations projected for late this year, 2025. So now they were granted funding for their proposed 7.6 million euros hydrogen locomotive project, and also a massive 2.6 billion approved loan from Developing Bank of Namibia and the development Bank of Southern Africa. Now, the project, of course, as you can see, the project is quite huge and promise not only technological innovation, but also that environment. We're talking about carbon emission, you know, also the environmental benefits and a strong economic role for Namibia in a renewable energy. So, however, despite all the initial excitement and so the project had actually hit the brakes in September 2024, 7 months later, and it's still stalled. There's nothing moving. So I reach out to Transnamib to get some answers, but the executive responsible for commercial and marketing, Kendall Swart at Transnamib, was not available for interview today, but he sent me a voice note, quite a short note for voice note, and here is what he said.
As per the media release dated 11 September 2024 regarding the green hydrogen dual fuel locomotive project, Transnamib reaffirms that it has paused the project. It's due to a shift in its strategic development plans. The focus is now on its core business to enable it to execute its turnaround strategy for Transnamib.
Well, that's all. Yeah. So this is after when I send them, you know, what is the objective of the interview, what I wanted to. So then he managed actually to send me that voice note, that short voice note. But it contains something, something that we can even, that is also covered, basically covered in the article as well. So now, just hold on. All right. So now let's get into now the heart of the matter. Okay. And, why has the High Rail Namibia project been paused? What does it tell us about our readiness for such transformative, project? So the first thing is as you have heard from Kendall, Mr. Swart. So it's about strategic shift at Transnamib. So the primary reason cited for the suspension is a shift in Transnamib strategic goals. So the company has chosen to prioritize its turnaround strategy to focus on the core business areas, essentially getting its basic operation back on track before, as you said, as you heard, pursuing a groundbreaking innovation like hydrogen locomotives. So it's actually getting back, getting its basic operation back on track. So before they actually venture into this kind of innovations. Now, I think one can understand, you know, this decision, it's for Transnet, maybe it's pragmatic, especially for a parastatal grappling with limited resources and years of course, years of underperformance. So, however, this is unpacking the day. It raises questions. It raises some questions. So, what's now the high rail project, the high rail Namibia project, overly ambitious given Transnamib's current financial and maybe operational struggle? Was it ambitious? Was it something that they just get excited like most of us? Was that overly ambitious? And then later find out that, well, given we won't be able to do this. So this is also a question of better planning. It's also a question of better planning. Could better planning or maybe phased implementation, like start small, one phase and another phase, a second phase or three or four, whatever the case may be. So could that have avoided this situation? Could it have avoided this situation? So those are some questions that really come to mind when you realize what happened, why this whole thing and it has implication. We're going to look at that. It has implication to the whole green hydrogen program, Namibia program, not only to Transnamib, but to the whole, because there's a consortium actually part of this whole thing. So, now, the other challenge then is that being the first to adopt new technology always carries some risk, you know, financial, technical, and operational, you name it, you name them, you know. Now, developing Africa's first hydrogen training is not a small business, it's not a small something, yeah? So the associated cost and uncertainty might have outweighed it, you know? It might have outweighed the benefit for Transnamib in its current state. And then they decided actually then to throw in the tower. So now, I think the innovation is crucial. So while the innovation is really crucial, it must be balanced with operational sustainability. I understand that if you think that this is not going to be operational sustainable, that could have been a very good decision to make. So they now kind of their turnaround strategy, looking at how they're going to go about it. Not only that, but with other things as well. Maybe they're going to focus on something else rather than on that. So the halt allows Transnamib to regroup and address its core weaknesses, definitely. But there is something. The big question is, at what cost to Namibia's green hydrogen ambition? So you have to think this in a bigger picture. It's not just about Transnamib. So we can zoom on Transnamib in terms of this, but it has, what is at what cost to Namibia's green hydrogen ambitions? So now when I'm asking that question, remember this project is aimed to deliver, it's aimed to deliver Africa first hydrogen power locomotives. It symbolizes a bold step forward in demonstrating Namibia's commitment to a greener and more innovative future. That's what it symbolizes. It's not just about, and I remember I said, this is not just a upgrading fleet in Transnamib. This is part of a of the whole of the Namibia green hydrogen ambition. Now, by delaying the project, Namibia actually risk losing momentum in competitive and fast involving global market. And you know that. So this is something that is, we're not the only kind of country that, you know, involved in this. So we are losing that momentum in a competitive and a fast evolving global market for green energy technologies. So this, you know, additionally, this decision could affect the country's ability, the country's ability to attract international partners and investors who were now drawn to Namibia's pioneering, you know, because we are now kind of the pioneer. We have that, we are the pioneering vision for green hydrogen. So that could affect that.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yes, as I was saying, all right. So this, as I said, that's also that possibility that it may affect actually countries' ability now to attract international partners and investors. So because they were looking at Namibia as now a leading, or you know, we have as a powering vision for green hydrogen. Now, the pressing question remain, all right, can Namibia afford to pause? Now, as you can see that the project has been paused, can Namibia then afford to pause its green hydrogen ambitions? At a time when the global demand for sustainable energy solutions is accelerating. It's one of the things that is, you know, and that's why you have so many partners that are interested in this. Can we afford to pause our green hydrogen ambitions? So, well, there's also a disconnect. Other challenge is also that there is also a disconnect between the initial timelines and the current reality. Public statement last year suggested that the preparatory phase during the pause would yield clear strategy by now. Yet, to date, at this point, there's little evidence of concrete progress. So leaving stakeholders and the public in a state of limbo. And that's why we're trying to find out what is going on. And that's why articles like this comes out. So what are the implications? What are the implications? So let's step back and assess what this means for the broader picture. Some of the things I have mentioned. So remember, the project was not just about trains. Remember, it was not just about, you know, upgrading the trains or upgrading the fleet of Transnamib. It was a chance for Namibia to showcase its green hydrogen capabilities on the global stage. So the delay risk losing momentum in the highly competitive renewable energy sectors. Very highly competitive. So however, now, which maybe one can also understand, Transnamib, one also have to understand that, focusing on fixing Transnamib foundation issues, might also lead to more a sustainable long-term, you know, growth, because you might not of course, you can understand TransNamib that, you know, if my foundation is not strong enough to sustain this, it won't go far. So one can also understand that aspect. But the delay is also risk losing the momentum in this competitive sector. So now, so the other thing is also we have with also things like, you know, the high iron plant and other projects that are going on. Namibia has started to position itself as a green energy hub. So the project like this now that has been the high rail, these are crucial for achieving the decarbonization targets. So these are very part of the, because these are part, it's part of the bigger program. That's what I'm saying. It's not just, it was not something directly just for TransNamib. So achieving decarbonization targets, it's part of that target. So now, although the suspension, it doesn't really signal failure. So even it doesn't signaling failure, it does highlight the need for a realistic roadmap that balances our innovative ideas with execution capacity. So because it's quite obvious that the reasons why this actually have to be delayed is because of the execution capacity. So I think we have to be realistic in that. And somehow, TransNamib in that way, you know, where now they want to focus on a turnaround strategy, whatever the turnaround strategy is, possibly is to build even capacity for that they can be able to do this. But remember what I said earlier. So it's risking losing that momentum. All right. So now, the process also, this process serves as a reminder that visionary project require not only funding, we require all this funding, though the funding comes in, it require not only funding, but also robust governance. We need those kind of governance, technical expertise. Sometimes when you look between the, when you look at the stakeholders that are involved, you know, a clear alignment of goals among the stakeholders, you know, and maybe if one can ask that could better risk assessment, and maybe as I said earlier on, a phase rollout for phase one or two or three, could have that maybe mitigated these challenges. Maybe it could have mitigated these challenges. So it could have maybe mitigated those challenges. So what need to happen? Some said, according to the stories as well. So moving forward, here are some critical steps based on some of those challenges that face the project, high-rise Namibia project, that derail. So in the future that we don't derail entirely, both now TransNamib and Namib Green Hydrogen Program must regularly communicate the progress, some say, or lack thereof, to maintain public trust also, because it's very important, and stakeholder confidence. So because now what happened to the money? It's the same thing that we talked about yesterday. There were a loan that was approved loan from a developing bank, 2 point something million, and also the euro, the grant, you know, that was 7.6 you know, euro, million euros. So that's one area. The other is, It's a phased, as I also indicated, the phased implementation, restarting project in smaller, manageable phases could help balance Yes, could balance that, the innovations that we need to involve, with the current operational constraints. You know, company might not have the technical know-how, they may not have the infrastructure, you know, all that. So, face, you know, manageable faces could actually balance that. And I'm talking about the capacity building, investing in technical expertise, project management is also essential to navigate some of these complexes of green hydrogen technology. So, and stakeholder alignment, clear collaboration between Transnamib, the government, the private sector, you know, partners, that can also streamline priorities and reduce some of the bottlenecks that we see that's happening. So the Hay Rail project represent both, if you look at it, represent both promise. You can see that. If it were to be implemented and to go ahead, it to really represent a promise, the promise. And at this point in time, with what happened, it also represents that pitfall, the pitfalls of innovation, you know. So while the current pause is a setback, it also offers, I think, an opportunity for reflection recalibration. Eh? Yeah. So the question remain though, can Namibia strike the right balance between ambition and execution? And this is something that we need to think about and think about in a broader sense. Even when you hear, politicians, officials talking about, you know, these are the priorities. This is what we want to achieve. I'm not asking you to be skeptical. I'm just asking you to be realistic, you know, and questions, as I said, can Namibia now, with all our ambitions, first of all, can we be able to strike that balance between our ambitions and execution? And execution involves a lot of things. It involves funds. It involves capacity, skills, and all of that. It involves, so there's so much involved. So it's all good and well sometimes for to say this is what we want to do. But one, do we have the capacity? Do we have the funds? Do we have the human, you know, expertise to do that? So that's very important before we just, you know, sing kumbaya, everything will be okay. So now it's your turn, dear listeners. What do you think? Should Transnamib have prioritized this project and go ahead? Or was the suspension the right move? So, and what lessons should we take from this for the future green energy initiative, from other initiatives as well? So call us now and share your thoughts. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you're welcome to come through now and have your say.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Park your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together
various hymn books under one app, here to unite the nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Dea Sherero Omainduriro, The Catholics Manika Karunga, The Africans Song for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yes, as we coming to over the weekend, I think Imba app will be very, 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 you know, will come in handy. So you rather actually download that. So as you're coming over the weekend for this festive celebrations, many services that's going to take place starting today. So, if you have your Imba, you definitely sort it out. You don't need to run around looking for hymnals and all that, hymnal books. So you have it right here in your hand. It's one of the products that you really, 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 you know, it's one of a must have, you know, if you're a church goer. So a must have. Even if you're not actually a church goer, you go to funerals and other, you know, events that have people sing. You don't want to look like a stranger, completely like a stranger. So download it and, you will look cool. I can tell you that. You will look cool.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at rogers.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So our first story, it was about the high rail project. And the High Rail Namibian project, which was actually, it's an ambitious project, ambitious initiative that was set out to revolutionize Namibia railway transport, by introducing a dual fuel, hydrogen diesel locomotives. So what that means is that a train designed to run both hydrogen and diesel fuel. So that's now the technology that allows now the locomotive to use hydrogen as a cleaner, more environmentally friendly energy source. So, and also still using also while also retaining the ability actually to use the diesel as a backup. Fuel. So, and the whole idea is, you know, it's part of the whole objectives. It's part of the whole green hydrogen, you know, target, which is actually reduce carbon emissions in not only, in this particular in railway industry, and also, yeah, and position Namibia as the leader in green hydrogen technology. So that was the idea. But what happened then is that this whole project come to a standstill, given with all the 26 billion approved loan from Development Bank of Namibia and also Development Bank of Southern Africa, and also So that's the story. And as we know, despite the initial excitement about the project hit the brakes in September. September 2024, it's about 7 months now, and it's still actually stalled. So tight-lipped. So that's where we are, and there are a lot of implications. The reason why we go into it, the reason why on unpacking the day we went into it, is because there's implications when it comes to green hydrogen Namibia program. So the project, and as we said in the throughout the discussions, the project was not just about, it's not about trains. This was a chance for Namibia to showcase its green hydrogen capabilities on the global stage. So, and this delay, the delay risk losing this momentum in, and you know this how. So when you snooze, you lose, you know. So in these sectors, you have to be competitive, and this would actually, we may lose that momentum because it's connected to the whole, thing. You know, we need, the hydrogen need to be transported. And if Transnamib cannot be able to do that, who's going to be able to do that? So, yeah. So those are some of the issues, that the implication of that. So, all right. What is your take? What do you think about this? Our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your opinions. What do you think?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, Eagle FM. And if you want to remain connected and have Eagle FM wherever you are, we will always be with you wherever you are, whether you are in the office, whether you are on the road, whether you are, you know, all what you need to do. It's simple. You have it right in your hand. Your phone. That's the most important thing. Once you download Eagle FM app, mobile app, you are connected to Eagle FM, to your favorite shows, to your news, and also to many more features that you can find on the app. So start downloading that and stay informed and stay connected to Eagle FM. So, yeah, our time, it's about 22 minutes past the hour of 8, and we just looked at our first item. So what do you have to say? What is your comment? What is your take of our first stories? So if you want to comment on that, our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you can, and the line is open for you to come through and have your say and your comment. All right. So, and while you're doing, we can go to another story. Another very interesting story that also covered in our sister digital, in our sister e-newspaper, The Villager. It is the ongoing. You know that every minister have done their inaugural address to their staff, and you know, and visited some places or start, you know, going to regions or and so on. And they, in their inaugural address, they there are a few things they kind of highlight the priority of that ministry. And we have covered some of them, especially the biggest one, the Ministry of Agriculture. We did cover that. So we also covered, I think, the Ministry of Education. So now we're also looking at the urban and rural development. And especially we're looking at that because of the plans to tackle the housing crisis in Namibia. So these are some of the issues that we would like to pay attention to. So the Minister James Sankwasa has outlined some ambitious plan for land servicing and housing development and housing development, including now reviewing eligibility criteria for national housing enterprises or NHE. So let's take a closer look at what these announcements meant for you and me, for an average Namibian, you and me, where the challenges lie, and whether these initiatives are enough to address the housing deficit in the country. So that's what we're going to look at and focus on. So stay tuned and join me as we go through that. So yeah. Now let's start from the very beginning. All right. As I said, this is an article also in our in yesterday edition of the Villager, and make sure that you subscribe to our digital e-newspaper. It's for free. You don't need to pay anything. You know, you receive this for free, absolutely for free. So all you need to do is just, you know, send your name, send your WhatsApp message on 08 1 200 4144, and you will start to receive your copy, your soft copy every Monday, every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So that's all what you need to do. And you'll be able now to, you know, to follow, economic news, business news, policy development news, all that, as that's what the paper is all about. That's what it's focused on. So make sure that you subscribe, and then you're not left behind in terms of those news. Yeah. So now we're focusing on the ministers, Minister Sankwasa's, as I said, has outlined some ambitious plan for land servicing and housing development. So we're focusing on some of those. But let's start from the very beginning. Where are we? Namibia has been, you know, grappling, and as you know, you and I know that, grappling with severe housing shortage for years. For years. Sometimes you wonder what are the issues? What is the issue really? You know, for years. And the number, and this is not just about exaggerating, the numbers paint a terrible picture. The numbers just paint, we just need to look at the numbers. It paints a terrible picture. Well, It's not only in the number. We just have to go to the settlement, actually, informal settlement. And you don't need to actually, you don't need to look at the numbers, statistics. You just need to go to informal settlement and you know what it means. Yeah? So, and you see the picture. Yeah? It's very, 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 very clear. And it's not a good picture. Now, over 120,000 people, over 120,000 people are currently on the NHE waiting list, desperate for affordable housing. Eh? 120,000. They're still on the list. That massive. All right? And to make matter worse, this is not even what to make matter worse, as I said, the informal settlement continue to expand. Eh? It continued to expand. It's as if, and you can see that urbanization, it outpacing actually the infrastructure development. You see, the urbanization. So it outpacing the infrastructure development. In this case, housing. So if we take Windhoek, for example, the city of Windhoek alone, estimate a need of 7 billion. Eh? Estimate a need of 7 billion to meet its affordable housing demand. 7 billion. Hmm? Now, and we know this challenge is not new. Okay, we have been there. This challenge, these challenges are not new. Now, the past initiatives, there has been past initiatives, like the Mass Housing Development Program, that was launched with a great ambitions in 2013. It was really launched with great ambitions. In 2013, promised about, now, see this, it promised about 185. Remember when we were talking about the high rail, you know, an ambition, you know, this big ambitions, and what happened? It's all fall flat. All fall flat. Now, the ambition of 2013, and sometime we need to be really seriously looking into this, the ambition, the great ambition in 2013, promised, the mass housing promised about 185,000 houses, affordable homes, you know, by 2030. There are only five years left. 185,000. Now, when people making these promises now to say, promise about how many? I said 500,000 job, so one have to really look at the past. You always have to think, okay, we have had those promises before. And this is looking at this risk. And I say this many times. I'm not being a skeptical. I'm just being realistic. Now, think of this. Let's look at this. 185,000 affordable homes by 2030. Now, fast forward to 2023. A fewer than 4,300 units have been delivered. Listen, 185,000. And it's only about a fewer than 4,300 units were delivered. Only about that. Well, we can also talk about other building companies that, community companies that also contribute to that. But from energy point of view, 4,300. It's clear we are falling short. And the housing crisis remain a pressing issue for the nation. It remain a pressing issue for the nation. So, can you imagine that? 185,000 and we only delivered about 4,300. So, now you can think about, now look at this now. you can, those who can calculate. Okay? So if from 2013 to 2023, we can only achieve 4,300, what makes that we can actually achieve the rest in 5 years? It's impossible. It's highly impossible. And if you can calculate as well, that's about 11 years, if I'm not wrong. How many, and we only build about 4,003, how long that's going to take us to actually build 180 something? Now take out the 5,000. To build about still 181,000 houses. It's impossible. Yeah. That's the reality that faces us, that we can ignore it and try to be, you know, optimistic and happy and jolly, you know, things go well and all that, until the reality strike again at one point. So now, get me right, and I want you to get me right. So I'm not saying, and listen very carefully, this doesn't mean, say for example, it doesn't mean the leaders and the new administration in there, they are not trying their best actually to, they have the right intention to change the situation. Yeah. But that, whatever the intentions are, sometimes you have to face the reality on the ground. Eh? Sometimes, do we have money? Now, let's go on. Let's see. The Minister Sangwasa, for example, vision is bold. It's really bold, with the plans to service 10,000 plots annually by 2027. Now, plan to service 10,000. Do you know how much that's going to cost? This is something that we never done. It has never been accomplished. And also you ask, within the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, do they have the money to be able to do that? It's all good and well. But what different this time? What is different this time around? What is different? Well, I can say that. For one, the minister aims to broaden the access. There's also different. For one, the minister's aim is to broaden access to affordable housing by revising energy eligibility. So energy is eligibility criteria to include middle income earners. So that's for one, that's actually something different. It broadened out. The minister want to broaden access to that affordable housing by revising the energy eligibility criteria. So including also the middle income earners. So this is significant shift. It is a significant shift, as previous policies often excluded this group. It was excluded, leaving them in financial limbo, if you like. So not worth enough you're in the limbo, somewhere in the middle there. You are not worth enough for private property, but earning too much to qualify for low income housing. So you can't afford the private property. You earn too much to qualify for low income, you know, housing. Where does that leave you? Renting, you know? Yeah. So that's actually a very good, I think that's a very good move from the minister, to revise the energy eligibility criteria and include the middle income, so that they can be able then also qualify for the low income housing. So that, for one, that's a change. That's something different, you know? Let's get to our first caller. Very good morning to you.
Yes, Brother Michael.
Good morning, my dear.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, man.
Mm.
Let me start with green hydrogen.
Yeah.
You know my brother, when you come to green hydrogen, yeah?
Yeah.
I swear to you, I'm always saying we are not prepared. If you look now with the transportation which is supposed to be done for our advanced numbers and so on, we are going to find ourselves sidelined.
Exactly, because it's part of the whole program. It's not just Transnamib.
It's that
Transnamib is part of the whole green hydrogen program in Namibia.
Exactly. And now, I'm looking at the area of so many things which didn't explore. We are talking about even catering to the people who are going to work there. We are talking about even uniform supply. So many, there are so many other things we can benefit in Namibia, but yet we are not talking about it.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can find even the information, who's going to do that, who are going to get involved, when it's going to be advertised, come on. It's a hard time also to know all those information, all these small details.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be available in the table, then we know exactly where we are heading. But if we are just literally selling of green hydrogen, I don't think we are going anywhere.
Yeah. So I hope if we become tactical and how would I say it? And really, really realistic. Sometimes things are hyped, and because marketed, that's also the part of this. Marketing is also part of this that, you know, those who are involved, they want to make sure that people, you know, buy into this idea and all that. But there are realistic, you know, concerns sometimes that we need to talk about realistically. Yeah.
That's the thing. Mm. Because we are just talking about green hydrogen, but we are not really facing the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really questionable at the end of the day, because we are just talking about it, but really when it comes to realistic where things are, all the details and so on.
Yeah.
A person can obtain the forms. Nothing like that. We are just talking about in the mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
Which is not really, I think, it's going to solve our problem as an immediate. Quickly to housing, my friends, the gaming issue of the day. You know, for me, I don't think we are serious when it comes to housing. I think we are playing cat and mouse.
But the question is actually, when you look at some of this something, where do we get how do we create our target? Do we just from decide, okay, we're going to actually have 185, you know, affordable homes by 2030. Without even understanding how are we going to get that? Where would the money come from? You know, there should be some kind of realistic way of actually setting our target. Now, out of 185,000, to date, it's only about 4,300 units have been delivered.
And you want to tell us that are we serious when it comes to issue of housing?
Of course one can add also building together, what the building together have done, and also dwellers, whatever. Yeah. So
some of them didn't become not absolutely working anymore. I think only in Chualongo that I see that they are doing something.
Yeah.
But apart from Chualongo, Windhoek is the most worst when it comes to even housing enterprise.
Yeah.
It's something different also when you see them the way they are doing it. And I don't know now who come up with the method of municipality building the housing with one bedroom and you can see just like a colonial era. And the thing is that I'm always having suggested that, you know, as people who are living in the former like myself, it's better for municipality to allocate us a land. Then they say, guys, because we've been living here for so long,
yeah,
what about maybe just leave a road for vehicle, like if the cashack is burning, then fabricate able to pass through. If I will give you 5 years, I'll give you a title deed.
Yeah.
For 5 years. If you didn't do it, I will remove you, I'll give it to somebody else. Yeah. Reverend, we're living here, I think most of us, we're able to build our house.
Exactly.
Because if you go to the campuses, my friend, there are people only driving what? Even Amaroga.
Yeah.
How much is Amaroga? Comparing to the bike what you're having.
Hmm.
People are able to afford it, but you know, most of us are happy to lend to somebody for more than 10 years, and then we are lending from, let me say, 3,000 or 4,000. How much if you put that money together? If you own, even you are building your own capacity, you can put everything.
Yeah.
Starting
from
solar energy to everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always said, if it takes you about 20 years or 25 years to finish your house, paying your house with a bank, why wouldn't it take 5 years to build your house?
Exactly.
Yeah. It can take you 5 years or 6 years to build your house.
The thing is, we have a protection with the plan of our life. But they don't know that in the long run, it's going to affect a lot of Namibians.
Yeah, sometimes you may die even not owning that house.
No. Exactly. But you're saying you are living in the country where it's democratic taking place. You are living in the country where the peaceful will come out. We are number what? Number something in the list. We are in top 5. And the day come equal opportunity when it comes to welfare distribution. Including the land.
Yeah.
And the people went to fight for the land. Now we are here. After 55 years complaining about the land again.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Lula, when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Well, that's sneaked up on us.
No. We're part of making money, friends. If it's not there, then we are not able even to call.
Okay, we won't be on here, definitely.
Exactly. You know, the thing is that when it comes to housing, really, look, the mass housing. Up to now, there's a flat in Ochomisi, which up to now not even covered. I mean, they don't even occupy it. And they look out dependent vandalized.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people who are trying to have housing, but they are not given the opportunity to even own those flats. And I don't know who is holding people back not to occupy those space. And now we are here complaining, I mean saying we are going to give people housing. How? If there are some empty space, I mean apartment there. And again, on top of that, we have municipality also having a waiting list. But wherever they come up with a land distribution, they are putting on auction. But you know that we have a backlog of people who have been waiting for more than 10 years in the waiting list. What are we going to do to solve those people first if you are putting the land on auction? Our people are not serious, man. Especially the people who are. And I think the moment we make a private flat, people to own property, lending to others, is where we make a mistake. Because, you know, go to other countries. Municipality, they are the one having what? Cheap flat.
Yeah.
Even giving to accommodation to the people.
Yeah.
Because not all most people who are coming, sometimes you just come from with your work to window. You didn't come here to stay. You just need a space for lending. Maybe you stay for 6 months. I don't require a house, but the problem is you will not find anything like cheap for municipality. Some can't live in there, they haven't even heard. Which was there? That is what happened in our country. Because people who are supposed to advocate that, they are the one who are having what? Building flat, private flat with a dense. And when the land becomes also committed when it comes to the thing, that is where issue is a problem, because now the bank is able to give me what? A car for 10%. Any vehicle, as long as my salary is okay, I can buy any car.
Yeah.
And the land, I have to fork up like what? 25 to 30 going up. Why should I have it to be like that? That's how the banks are playing with our brothers who are in school today. Yeah. Because that's maybe this brother of mine is lending on me for me and my place, maybe like 5,000. And my value of the house is 1.5. But this guy is going to buy a car, 2.7 million.
Yeah.
And the bank is able to apply with that. But when it comes to property, it's different story because it's... You have to fork up like 50% or 25%.
Yeah, sometimes when you look at some of this, not only institution, but the criteria and stringent rules that are there, it's really like, you know, designed to make you poor.
Exactly. Definitely. Because now, these guys they are crying, you know, sometimes. The guy is having a what account on a credit. He's having a phone on a credit. Even the airtime is on credit.
Yeah.
And he's having a TV on credit. He's having a cell phone credit. Almost his life. That's on a credit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to even to have a family. I was going to have a family because he cannot afford him himself.
Yeah.
it's a pity. And the business, we don't talk about it, but seriously, it's affecting our people, my friend, big time.
It does, yeah.
And now we wonder why a lot of Namibians are going through depression.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Causing those depression.
Exactly. Much of the issues that people are going through create this condition in people. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's not an excuse, but we also have to look at the factor that contribute to those things. Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
Thank you
for coming through, man. Yeah.
All right, man.
All right.
Mm.
So a very good morning to you. A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And you're tuned in to Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, we're looking at the inaugural address of Minister of Urban, Mr. Sankwasa. He outlined some of the priorities the ministry would focus on, and especially we kind of like spotlighting the housing issues. As we're looking at this, as I said, this is an issue that we have grappling with for many years. Shortage of houses, housing shortage. We have grappled with this is for many years. And the number, it doesn't really show a good picture. So, as we said, as I mentioned earlier, that 120 people, over 120,000 people are currently on NHE waiting list. And these are people who are actually desperately waiting for houses. And to make matter worse, because of lack of housing, opportunities, so informal settlement continue to expand, and that is an issue. So, and I said, challenge of financial constraint is also one of the biggest issue. City of Windhoek alone is estimate a need of 7 billion, just to meet its affordable housing demands. So those are some of the issues. And when it comes now, to initiatives like mass housing development, all this program that were introduced to deal with the house, with the housing issue. We can right here say it has failed, absolutely failed. The mass housing program promised 185,000 affordable homes by 2030, and about 4,300 units have been delivered. That's absolutely a failure. So it's clear that we are really falling short. Not even falling short. We are far from the target that we set for ourselves. Maybe it's a time to sit down again and reevaluate, you know, our targets, and also make a SWOT analysis, where is our strength and weaknesses and all that, to search forward. So the housing crisis remain a pressing issue for the nations. Now, Mr. Sankwasa, vision is, as I said earlier, it's bold, with a plan to service 10,000 plot annually by 2027. So, and the question was, what is different this time? So one of the difference, as I said, for one, the minister actually aims to broaden now the access to affordable housing by revising. So the minister want to revise energy eligibility criteria, the eligibility criteria, to include the middle income earners, because the problem was this. So the previous policy often excluded this group of earners, leaving them in their financial limbo. So way that they are not worth enough to afford private property, but earning more or earning too much to qualify actually for low income housing. So they find themselves, as I was saying, of course, just renting, because not worth enough to afford private property, earning more to qualify actually for low income housing. So, and there is a focus from the ministry on upgrading the informal settlement. So that's a litany song that we hear many times. And the whole idea, the plan is also to subsidize authorities, local authorities, so that they can speed up land availability and also provide essential service like water, sanitation, and electricity as a crucial steps towards for formalization. So now, the recent allocation of 500 million for this purpose, one could say it's a good thing, it's promising, but the question remain, as we say, the question remain, will these funds be enough to meet that ambitious target? Is it enough? Really, 500,000. Think of servicing about 10,000 plots annually. How much that gonna cost? It's gonna take up already massive amount of funds to do that. And you still actually have a huge bad luck, 120,000 people on the waiting list. So yeah. So now, can the existing program deliver? So what we look at now, when we look at the existing program, that, or do we have actually to do something completely different? Eh? Do we need to overhaul the way we are doing things and probably come up with a different strategy rather than what we have at the moment? Two key housing initiatives, the Building Together program and the Sheikh Dwellers Federation. So they have been really instrumental in providing home over the years. And the Build Together program has delivered nearly 42,000 houses, since its inception in 1992. 42,000 houses. And while the Sec Dwellers Federation has built around 7,700 low income houses in 20 years. So at least, well, these have done better compared to maybe NHE. So these programs have produced roughly 49,690 houses. So, well, put that together with what actually NHE have done so far. So that give you approximately 50,000 houses, being built, since then. So, yeah, the numbers from these programs, we would say they're quite good. Okay. But are they enough actually to bridge the housing gap? So are they enough actually to bridge the housing gap? So the Build Together program, for example, was revived in recent years. But, as every other institution in the country, its historical struggle with mismanagement, it has those historical struggle with its management and corruption have hindered actually its potential. So, and also Sec Dwellers Federations, on the other hand, relies heavily on community driven efforts and also from external funding. So, which is actually make it difficult or which is actually limiting as Sec Dwellers Federation scaling up, it's actually limiting its scalability. So maybe this are some of the what we have. The minister have to look at them. How do they capacitate them? Because they have done something. So maybe they just need capacity and better management to be able to deliver. In a way that more convenient to a majority of people in the low income group. So yeah. So those are things that and you know, one thing that also the minister have alluded to, it's a whole question of implementation, and this is something that I'm glad that the new administration has. It's actually focusing. I have an eye on it. The eagle eye, like Eagle FM, like we have an eye on those things. So, yeah, it's one thing that, one thing that we have to really to understand is that when it comes to implementation, the challenge to implement, it's one thing to have ambitious plan. But execution, it's where what is the saying? It's where the rubber meets the road. Eh? It's where the rubber meets the road. So this is where the crack of the matter is. So one can say whatever they want to say. They can sound very nice and all well, and we all clap hands and sing kumbaya. All things will be great. But when it comes to implementation, that's where the rubber meets the road. So, and the minister has given his staff 21 days, not even a month, 21 days to produce a comprehensive implementation plan. Oh, 21 days? That's incredible. It's an incredible tight deadline. Incredible tight deadline for a problem of this magnitude. I just think that it's a very tight deadline. This is massive. The problem of this magnitude require a thorough, they must have all the time in the world, but I think it needs more than that. Otherwise you have people who can, ask, what is that? ChatGPT, come up with a program with the solutions, because it's quite a short period. It doesn't give enough time for people to really come up with something. Maybe he understands his stuff better than most of us, but it's a really tight deadline for a problem of this magnitude. So yeah, there's also issue of governance. Minister Sangwasa has called for higher ethical standard and a corruption-free environment. But, as we know, and I'm glad that this has become the litany or the what do you do on a common, on an everyday basis, that, you know, it has become the daily food for many of, for this cabinet, actually. Corruption, higher ethical standards and corruption, a free environment. So, but as history shows, that is said than done. So, it needs really to root out a number of cockroaches, Mandumin put them. So it need to root out, quite a number of cockroaches. Yeah, before we see a free, a corruption-free environment. And some of those actually need to be rooted out. Yeah, so that's some of the challenges. Another challenge is the sustainability of funding. All right? Sustainability of funding. So while the 500 million allocated for informal settlement, it's a good start. I think long-term solutions will require more, some strong financial backing. It require more some strong financial backing. And this is a good start. 500,000 is a good start. It's not even enough to scratch the surface, you know? Yeah, so, because this, as I said, this is a problem of huge, magnitude. So, yeah, and as I said, it require a more strong financial backing. And let's not forget the logistical challenges of servicing. Logistical challenge of servicing a 10,000 plot annually. That's something that has never been achieved on this scale in Namibia. Never. 10,000 plot annually. That requires a strong financial backing. And I don't think that amount of money would be able to achieve that as well. So I'm not a financial person, but from just simple business that I do, and given where where we are economically, that doesn't sound right at all. Just as 185,000, target that was set before 2030 wasn't realistic target, so. It seemed to have become a habit when we set target that it's one thing to be, ambitious. That's why I said it. It's one thing to be ambitious, but it's another, to really put that into practice. So maybe we'll need to learn more to be more realistic based on where we are. I think that would help, better. So now when you look at this, is this enough? So the minister's plans are undoubtedly, and if executed, I think that could make a significant dent in the housing crisis. And this plan also significantly, Igor FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, hello, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm okay. I'm not okay today. People say all free clinics around.
I can hear you.
I'm not very well. I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, why?
Since we are not listening to radio anymore.
So you're not listening. So what you need to do is to, do you have a smartphone?
Yes, Yes, but here we are given the smartphone, the frequency is not even the frequency, but network itself, not that well.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. But at the moment, what you can do is really to upload the Eagle FM app. And, through that, you can really be able to listen to us anywhere and at any time. So, and it's not actually, it's quite simple. Well, you have to go to your Google app. The App Store. And then you can you just write in Eagle FM, and then once you see that Eagle FM logo, you download that, and then from there you can be able to listen to Eagle FM. Yeah.
Is this Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike. Yeah.
Okay, Mike. You need to get the beginning of this problem what is the problem with the network?
Yeah, so there are some structural changes that are being made. We would be able now to, over time, we'll be able to see where we're going. So, for now, there are some structural changes. Okay. In some part of the country, yes, there are some frequencies are not available. So. What I can say is that please make sure that you download the Eagle FM app if you want to continue listening to Eagle FM. Yeah.
Yeah,
you are breaking up. I can't hear you properly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. So make sure that you tell also other people that in your area about that, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I will do so,
yeah. Okay, good.
So good.
Yes, or what you can do, just download the Eagle FM app, and then when you know when is your show is starting, you can tune in. And I said, this is one of the most... something easy that you can be connected wherever you are. So as long as you have a phone, as long as you have a mobile phone, that's quite simple and easy. All right. Yeah. So on our topic. So as I said, we're still looking at the housing issues and the minister. The minister's plans are undoubtedly, as I said, ambitious, and if executed well, they could actually make a significant dent in the housing crisis. So, however, these plans also, as we have seen, highlight, you can see that they highlight a systemic issue that require a deep reform. So they highlight that there is some systemic issues that really require overhaul and require deep reform. But otherwise, we will just be circling around over the same thing, over and over. You know what insanity is? Doing the same thing and hoping that, just doing the same thing, well, things will change. So, yeah. That what insanity is all about. So, but the other thing is also really, is also looking at, this is also something maybe that we need to look at. Is the government doing enough to attract also the private sector, investment in housing? Is it doing enough? What about could innovative solution like PPP, the PP public-private partnership, be part of the answer? So it's one approach that has been spoken about, but haven't been really quite vigorously, if you like, being practiced. Public-private partnership. Maybe it's time to look into. To look into those approaches more seriously. So, and what about people at the heart of this crisis? Are those in the Are those the voices? Are the voices of the informal settlement resident being heard in the planning process? Or just, you know, we just sit in our, you know, in our aircon boardroom and decided for them. So, yeah, participation and transparency will be the key. And that's also what this administration is emphasizing, to ensure these initiatives truly serve those in need. That is the approach. All right. So, my dear listeners, housing crisis in Namibia is not just a number game. It's not just a number game. It's a matter of, you know, when it's a matter of dignity, really. You know, when you have your own house, you know, you feel dignified, you feel secure, you feel it's a whole question of security and opportunity. So, having a house, you have some collateral on your name. So, and Mr. Sankwasa plan signal a renewed commitment to addressing this crisis, but the road ahead is really fraught with challenges. It is fraught with challenges, and we need to talk about them. We need to be realistic about them, rather than just sing kumbaya, everything will be fine. So, and it's up to us. It's up to us, the government, the private sector, the citizens alike, you know, to ensure that these promises don't just remain on paper, okay? So they just don't remain on paper. So what do you think? So are these plans realistic? Will they make a difference in your life or community? You know, let's hear a thought. We still have some minutes to go. Our telephone number, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, Rio Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Manekakarunga, the Africans Sengfuar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, Eagle FM. So if you are joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 17 minutes past the hour of 9, and the program goes up to 9:30. So please, you still have some minutes, few minutes, about 13 minutes, about, yeah, 13 minutes before we come to the end of the show. If you would like to to comment, to participate, to have your opinion on the two items that we covered so far, you're most welcome to do so. And our time, I mean, our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. Yeah, maybe let me go to the other stories that quite interesting, just for me to get to the, this is also very, another topic that, that impact us, impact us all, that impact us all, in a way we, maybe we not even realize. So it is actually the cyber security, it's another story that I think, we didn't pick up the other day. So whether you are checking emails, you know, doing online banking or just scrolling social media, you know, our digital lives, are increasingly under threat from a cyber attacks. So, on Monday, the Namibia took a significant step forward. They really took a significant forward, forward in addressing this global, this growing issue, by launching the National Cybersecurity Incident Response Team, the NCSIRT. Ooh, it's a mouthful. It's a mouthful, but simply put, it is a specialized unit dedicated to protecting our digital borders. So it's got like a defense force, you know, but in a digital realm. So a defense force in a digital realm. So National Cybersecurity Incident Response Team. So this initiative is more, I think it's more than just a government project. It's about actually safeguarding the backbone of our modern society. That involves, you know, us being on online, much of the time. So, yeah. So let's look at what this launch mean. What does it mean for you? And the nation maybe as a whole. So just quickly look at that before we come to the end of the show. If nobody comes through and have a comment on what we have said earlier. So now we live in the era where almost every aspect of our life relies on technology. So from managing energy grids, to running hospitals, even ensuring the smooth operation of financial services. So everything is interconnected. So, but with this convenience comes vulnerability. Sounds, it's kind of rhythmic, you know, but with this convenience comes vulnerability. Yeah, so cyber criminals are out there. And we have, as in Namibia, we have experienced that. Yeah. So looking to exploit weak spots in systems, for financial gain. We have seen that with Telecom. Who was the other one? Why is that other company just get out of my head? So, but the one comes to mind is Telecom. So they are looking to exploit weak spots, in system for financial gain, political sabotaging in some cases, in some country that has been the case, or just simply, you know, disruption of services. So, well, as I said, Namibia, like many other countries, is not immune. We are not immune to that. We have seen a rise in cyber attack globally. And our global digital footprints makes us a target. So now to counter this, the government launched the NCSIRT. It's a mouthful. A team that will focus on preventing, managing, and responding to cyber threats. So it's a defense force on a digital sphere. All right. So this is a team that will focus on preventing, you know, managing and responding to cyber threats. So now what is what would they bring on the table really? What does this team will do? So what is exactly does this team, this new team do? Yeah, now remember what I said. Maybe not think of them as like think of Namibia SCIRT. Think of them as a, how would I say it? What would be the best scenario? Think of them as a digital fire department. Okay? Think of them as a digital fire department. When a cyber attack happens, they will be the one running into contain the damage. You know, they are the one who come in to contain the damage, identify the attackers, who is the attackers, and restore the normal operation. So they are the one. So think of them as a digital fire department. All right. I think that's a better one rather than a defense force. All right. So this is the guys. These are the guys that would come, that would contain the damage that the attack would do, identify who is the attack, and then definitely then restore the normal operation of whatever institutions that has been attacked. So, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. So their job also include, prevention. So in prevention, in terms of ensuring systems are strong enough, to withstand attacks in the first place. So is those also kind of making sure they strengthen the system to make sure that they are strong enough, you know, to withstand the attacks in the first place. So that's also one of the things. So, but that would involve that the team will also focus on several things. Also focus. So to do that, to ensure that system are robust enough or strong enough to withstand attack, there are also things that they need to do. One is educating the public and business about cybersecurity best practices. So, yeah, and we have an example of that. For example, we have FNB segment, FNB Namibia segment on EGFM. Definitely is part of that. Educating the public and business about cybersecurity best practices. So, how do you protect yourself from phishing and also practice and also, you know, this cyber attack. And it does happen to many. There are people who lost their money because of some of these practices. So one of that is actually now educating the public and businesses about cybersecurity best practices. So that's one of those. The other one is also then, this is now to ensuring the system are strong enough to withstand attacks. So part of those is to educate and also the public and businesses. So it's also to monitoring the potential threat and issuing timely alert, be able now to be on the lookout. So it's kind of like, okay, they do, what do you call that? What is the word? The word has just gone out of my mind. So they monitor, and when they see a potential threat, then they alert timely. You know, then they alert timely. And that is only, it's not only for the government, but it's also for other, for private sectors as well. And in that way, also informing the public and business what are the possible threat for the and you have to listen to that, please. So many of us sometimes we don't pay attention to this only when it happens. And there are people who lose, actually imagine a person losing about 600,000. 600,000. He was just actually to upload the any desk or the TeamViewer applications. So, and then a person operate on your phone as if you know, he's the owner of the phone. And that's how actually people lose the money. So, yeah. So those are some of the things, potential threat. What are the potential threat? And be able to alert people. And sometime when you are being alert, you're not actually listening to those. Make sure that you tune in on, in Eagle FM, to be able to learn some of these things. Because, as I said, we have the FNB, segment on our session every Monday. Every Monday from 7:45. It's basically looking at some of this. So the other thing is providing tools, to report, incident quickly and effectively. So, for instance, they have already launched now. This is now the team, from the Ministry of, from ICT Ministry. They have already launched a website where people can report a cyber incident and also access educational materials and also stay updated on the latest threat. So that's, they have already launched that, so the website. So on that website, you can be able to access, to report actually cyber incidents and access educational materials and stay updated with the latest, what are the latest threats. Now, some of you might wondering, how does this actually affect me personally? So, well, you know, imagine waking up to find your bank account drained because of phishing scam, you know? Just imagine, you know, you wake up and there's only zero on your bank balance. Or consider in a bigger way, consider a hospital unable to access patient record due to the ransomware attack. So these are not far-fetched scenarios. So they are not far-fetched scenarios. They are happening worldwide. These are things that are happening actually worldwide. Cyber attacks don't just cause financial losses. They erode trust in the, first of all, they erode trust in the very system we rely on. So we started the other time, I don't know what has happened. I started to say, well, from now on, I'm going to put my money under the mattress, because you start to question, when people can't trust technology, it hampers progress. So business hesitate to innovate. Government struggle to implement digital services. So an individual become wary. You become wary of online activities. So, yeah. So while the government has committed, you know, the government has committed about 20 million to kickstart the NA Namibia's CSIRT, this team, the reality is that the cybersecurity is, I think, is a very inexpensive endeavor. So the tool, the infrastructure, the talent required to stay ahead of cyber, to stay ahead now of cyber criminals, it costs a lot. And some expert, even the minister actually mentioned when he does the launch that, you know, she believes we need 10 times the funding, the funding to build a truly strong defense system. You know, another challenge is collaboration. Okay. Cybersecurity is not just the government responsibility now. Business, public entities or public enterprises and even to individual like you and me must play our part. Simple action like using stronger password. So as our guy from F&B segment was saying, avoiding suspicion links, and regularly updating your software can go a long way in creating a safer digital environment. So now, I'm not even watching time. So, yeah, as we embrace digitalization and the fourth industrial revolution, let's remember that with great power comes great responsibility. So cybersecurity is not just about protecting data. It's about protecting lives. You know, it's about livelihood. It's about the very fabric of our society. So stay informed, stay vigilant. Let's work together to ensure Namibia's digital future is not only innovative, but also secure. And that brings us to the end of our unpacking the day today. So until tomorrow on the same station here on Eagle FM. So stay tuned for the next programs that are coming up. And coming up right away is Mind the Gap with Helmut. From me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a pleasant day ahead and have a holy, have a happy Holy Thursday for those that are Christians. All the best. Until tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the RR.
Pack your preconceptions of technology. Explore the...
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavuchaziva. Mwere kisema app ato lokasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide. Mise kunani, zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuya kwa ifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulimusi yemba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyalizwi la mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, simane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisifera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Si wanashana mibia. Kamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na imba.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.